Chapter 18. When I emerged on deck from the dark hold, the very perfection of the day, bright sun, dazzling blue sky, clouds both full and white, made me shade my eyes. And though the Seahawk pitched and rolled gently upon the softest of seas, I felt as though my legs would give way under me. For when I was able to look about, I saw that the captain had arranged a kind of courtroom. In the ship's waist, on the starboard side, he had assembled the crew in two rows, some sitting on the deck, the rest standing behind the front rank. Before them, atop the central cargo hatch, a chair had been placed. The captain hurried me past the crew, none of whom would look me in the eye, and instructed me to sit in the chair, saying it would serve as the prisoner's dock. Now he took his place in one of his fine cabin chairs. It had been set up high behind the quarter-deck rail, a rail that he pounded sharply with the butt of his pistol. "I proclaim this court to be in session in strict accordance with the law," he said. "Considering the overwhelming evidence against the accused, it needn't be held at all. But as I have told Miss Doyle, she will enjoy the benefit of my generosity." So saying, he now took up his Bible, and though he had just seated himself, rose abruptly and brought it down to the crew. It was Fisk he approached first. "Place your hand upon this," he demanded. Fisk did as he was ordered, but, clearly unnerved, touched the book as one might a hot plate. "Do you, Mr. Fisk," the captain intoned, "swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?"
Fisk hesitated. He glanced quickly at me.
"Do you?"
Captain Jaggery pressed.
"Yes,"
Fisk replied finally in a hollow whisper. Satisfied, the captain went on to the next man, then the next, until he had sworn in the entire crew. From the solemnity that showed upon their faces, from their nervous fidgets and downcast eyes, it was clear to me that the men were mightily unsettled by the oath they had been made to take. They could not take the Bible lightly. But I was certain each of them believed, as I did, that the murder was done by Zachariah, whom they themselves had conspired to hide in the hold. It was to him they would remain steadfast, not me. They would tell the truth, but in such a way as to protect Zachariah. How could I disagree? Once Captain Jaggery had sworn in the crew, he approached me. I, too, laid my hand on his Bible. I, too, promised to tell the truth, even as I knew I would not speak it completely. The swearing done, the captain returned to his chair and again banged his pistol on the rail.
"Will the accused stand?" he said.
I stood.
"Before this court," he continued, "I, Andrew Jaggery, by my rightful authority as master of the Seahawk, charge you, Charlotte Doyle, with the unnatural murder of Samuel Hollybrass, late of Portsmouth, England, first mate on the Seahawk. Miss Doyle, how plead you?"
"Captain Jaggery," I tried to protest.
"How plead you, Miss Doyle?"
he repeated sternly. "I did not do it."
"Then you plead innocent."
"Yes, innocent."
"Miss Doyle," he asked,
with what I could have sworn was a slight smile about his lips,
"do you desire to withdraw your claim to being a member of this crew? That is to say, do you wish to hide behind your father's name, and thus avoid judgment by these men?"
I turned slightly so as to consider the crew. They were gazing at me intently, but offered nothing to help. Though I sensed a trap in the question, I was loath to abandon my trust in the men just when I most needed them.
"Miss Doyle, do you wish to be judged by these men or not?"
"I trust them," I said finally.
"Do you wish to charge someone else with the act of murder?"
"No," I said.
"Let it thus be understood," Jaggery declared, "that the accused insists she be judged by this court, and further, charges no one else with this crime."
So saying, he pulled a logbook onto his lap, and with pen in hand, wrote down my words. When done, he looked up.
Miss Doyle, do you agree that someone murdered Mr. Hollabrass?
Yes.
Someone on the Seahawk?
It has to be.
Exactly. Someone on this ship. And at the moment, you are the only one accused.
You have accused me?
But given the opportunity, Miss Doyle, you accused no one else.
It was clear this was a major point with him. All I could reply was, yes. The captain made a note in his book, then shifted his attention to the crew.
Is there any man here who is willing to defend this prisoner?
I turned to the men whom I'd begun to call friends. Ewing, Barlow, Fisk. Not one of them would look at me.
No one?
The captain asked mockingly. No one.
Very well, the captain went on. Miss Doyle, you will have to defend yourself.
They are frightened of you, I said. They won't speak because...
Miss Doyle, he interrupted. Is it not my right, my responsibility, as master of this ship, to determine who used the knife and for what reasons?
Yes, but... Again he cut in.
Have I asked for anything but the truth?
No.
And a murder was committed by someone on this ship. That is not open to question. But have you so much as hinted it was someone else?
No, but...
Miss Doyle, although none of these men wishes to defend you, they have all sworn to speak the truth. Can you ask for anything more than that?
Again I said nothing.
Very well. We shall begin.
He leaned back in his chair, logbook still in his lap, pen in hand, pistol at the ready.
We have agreed that Mr. Hollabrass was murdered. Is there anyone here who believes he was killed by other than this weapon?
He held up the dirk. No one spoke. The captain continued.
Let us now determine its ownership. Miss Doyle, he asked, do you recognize this knife?
Captain Jaggery, I left it...
Miss Doyle, he said again, do you recognize this knife?
Captain Jaggery,
was this the blade that killed Mr. Hollabrass?
He repeated. Yes.
Very well, then, he said. I shall ask once more, do you recognize this knife?
I do, I said reluctantly.
Tell us about it.
Zachariah gave it to me.
Mr. Zachariah,
he said, pretending to be surprised. Yes, and I showed it to you a few days into the voyage.
But when you showed it to me, he quickly put in, and I asked who gave it to you, what did you say?
I said nothing.
You told me that a certain Mr. Grummidge of Liverpool gave it to you. Am I correct?
Captain Jaggery,
answer the question. Yes or no?
Yes.
Are you saying now that you lied? Yes or no?
Yes, I said, appealing to the crew, but only because I didn't wish to bring harm upon Zachariah.
Whatever your excuses, Miss Doyle, you admit you lied to me.
Yes, I was forced to say, and you said I should keep the knife.
Indeed, I told you that. And you did keep it, didn't you?
Yes, I said sullenly, sensing he was getting the best of me. He turned to the crew.
Did any of you see this girl with this knife in hand at any time?
The men shifted uneasily.
Come now, gentlemen, the captain barked. This is a court of law. All of you are required to speak the truth. You swore upon the Bible to do so. I'll ask again. Did any of you see this girl with this knife?
The crew appeared to be looking every way but at the captain. Then I noticed Dillingham rub the back of his neck. The captain saw it too.
Mr. Dillingham, he called out sharply. Do you have something to say? Step forward, sir.
Dillingham came forward awkwardly.
What have you to say?
I saw her with the knife, sir.
When? shortly after we set sail. Thank you, Mr. Dillingham. I applaud your forthrightness. Now then, did anyone else see her with the knife? Mr. Ewing?
Ewing said as much as Dillingham. When pressed, so did Foley. So did Mr. Johnson. The captain was now leaning over the rail, clearly enjoying himself.
Did anyone not see her with the knife?
He said dryly. No one spoke.
I wish, he said, to state how unnatural it is for a girl to carry a knife.
You have no reason to say unnatural, I objected. You even gave me one.
Did I?
Yes, during the storm.
Why did I?
To cut away the rigging.
To be sure, that was an emergency. By what reason did you have a knife when there was no emergency?
To defend myself.
Defend yourself? Against whom? Against what?
Fearful of his traps, I was not sure what to say.
Against what? He pressed. Did anyone threaten you? Any of these men?
No, not them.
Who then? Come, speak up.
You.
How so?
You struck me.
Miss Doyle, I do strike members of the crew. It is a common enough practice.
He turned to the men.
Have any of you ever known a captain who has not, from time to time, struck a member of the crew? Come now, speak up if you have.
No one spoke. The captain turned back to me.
But do they turn upon me with a knife? Is that what you are suggesting, Miss Doyle? That members of a crew have the right to assault their captain with a weapon?
He had confused me again.
Besides, he added, you had that knife on the first day of this voyage. Did you think I would strike you then?
No, I believed you were a gentleman.
So, Miss Doyle, you had the knife before you met me, did you not?
Yes, I admitted. The captain smiled with obvious satisfaction.
The knife, then, is clearly yours, and you were seen with it. You admit to all this.
He turned to the crew.
Have any one of you seen a knife in her hand other than during the first few days of this voyage? Step forward if you have.
It was Grimes who did so.
Ah, Mr. Grimes, you have something to say?
Begging your pardon, sir, I saw her.
In what circumstances?
I was teaching her to use a knife.
Teaching her to use a knife,
the captain repeated portentously.
Yes, sir.
When?
Before the storm.
And did she learn?
Yes, sir.
Was she good at it?
Aye, uncommon good.
Mr. Grimes, I ask you, did you ever hear of another girl who desired to learn the use of a knife?
Grimes hesitated.
Answer.
No, sir.
Do you not think it's unnatural?
Sir, I don't know, as if...
Agree or disagree?
He bobbed his head apologetically.
Agree.
Unnatural again, the captain proclaimed. Mr. Hollabrass was murdered during the hurricane. Did anyone see this girl on the deck during the storm?
He looked to the crew.
Anyone?
There were a few murmurs of yes.
Mr. Barlow, I think you say yes. What was Miss Doyle doing?
She was with the crew, sir, doing her part like we all was. And good work, too.
Doing her part like we all was, the captain echoed in a mocking tone. Mr. Barlow, you're not young. In all your years, have you ever seen, ever heard of a girl who took up crew's work?
No, sir, I never did.
So then, is it not unusual?
I suppose.
You suppose. Might you say unnatural?
That's not fair, I cried out. Unusual and unnatural are not the same.
Miss Doyle, have you an objection?
There was nothing unnatural in what I did, I insisted.
Miss Doyle, let me then put the question to you. Have you ever heard of a girl joining a crew?
I felt caught.
Have you?
No. So even you admit to that?
Yes, but...
The captain turned to the crew.
Is there anyone here who has ever heard of a girl doing what this Miss Doyle has done?
No one spoke.